Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott.
And I'm Ben. Today, we are here, as always, with our super producer, Noel the Cameo Brown.
Ah, the cameo. Is that a foreshadowing, Ben?
It's a little bit of foreshadowing, yes, Scott. It's also a very unfair hint to you, my friend, because this is a mystery show. This is Ben's mystery show number 3.
A hint for me.
A hint for you.
Cameo is a hint for me.
Noel Cameo Brown.
Okay.
All right.
That gives me nothing.
I know. It's the worst clue ever. Right. which is so unfair. So, this is, you know, everybody knows the shtick by now.
Sure.
We surprise each other with some of these. But before we get into it, we have a couple of, tangential things that we wanted to follow up on. And one of those being that, you guys responded with some limericks for us when we mentioned that, you know, we're fine to read a limerick as long as it's the kind of limerick you would, you know, read to your mom or your kids.
Yeah, PG-13 at the most.
At the most.
We're going for PG here, really.
Right. And we got a few. Scott, you read some from our buddy Aaron Cooper earlier in an episode. And today we've got not only a limerick, but a longer poetic piece.
Yeah, I guess so. I thought it was kind of, initially I thought these were limericks strewn together, and that's kind of what it is, Ben. They're kind of like one long limerick.
It's like an uber limerick.
Yeah, typically limericks are what, 4 or 5 lines, something mm-hmm. like that. But this is a little bit longer, but we're still going to read it, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
absolutely.
So this one comes from a listener named Henry.
Yes, from Henry out in New Zealand. Henry, we're going to go ahead and just read this as is. And I am not going to attempt to do anything other than my regular American accent.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I'm not going to. Come on. I'm not going to do that.
You're good at that.
Oh, you're way too kind.
Okay.
We get the show in trouble. Here we go. Scott and Ben, I'll give you 10 out of 10 for a show so cool my motor mouth drools. The soft tire one went down like a song, which made me wonder how would you go when you're stuck in thick snow? Propulsion from a screw? If someone made it, then who? The old Fordson, it seemed, could drive over cream. The Russians made one, gave the West a stun. You can still buy them in Aussie for mud work, nothing glossy. Prepare to pay the price and count your nickels twice. They are especially made, so the company wants to get paid quite a lot of cheese to get one of these. And he said, anyway, hi guys. So, hey, Henry, thanks for taking the time to write to us, in this, cause this references several different episodes we've done.
It does, yeah. And, you know, not a traditional limerick, but I like it. Good effort on that one. I initially thought that this was, you know, 3 or 4 different limericks kind of, you know, in a line together. That,
sure.
Some I matched up, but, it's all one piece.
Yeah, it's coherent narrative, my professors would call it.
Nice work. And we have one also that comes from another listener
that's true.
A regular listener to the show. Of course, mm-hmm. everybody knows Rudy Smith.
Yeah, I feel like, Rudy, I feel like we need to give you your own sound cue at this point. we'll see if we can work something out.
Just maybe.
Write to us and tell us what kind of sound cue you want. Remember, we're a clean show.
That's a safe bet. So he also wrote a limerick, and this one is more along the traditional line here. So,
okay.
This one's about the Smokey Eunuch episode.
Oh, yeah.
Recent
that was
episode.
A good one.
So here we go. You want me to read it?
Please do.
All right. There once was a racer named Eunuch with a lawyerly grasp of the rulebook. After each race he won, the officials were stunned, but the fans found it all therapeutic.
Oh, nice.
Not bad,
yeah,
huh?
Not bad at all.
Very topical.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
And...
You ready?
I think it's a clever use there of the slant rhymes as well.
Yeah, that's true.
That was well done.
Yeah, very good.
Well done, Mr. S.
Very good. So we're getting quite a few submissions on these, and
yeah,
all we had to do is ask.
And if you would like to be a part of that, if you want to send us a limerick, you know, the dirty ones are fine too. I will laugh. I probably won't be able to get it on the air.
No.
Probably not. But yeah, let us know. And we love to hear from you. You can always, email us. We usually say our address at the end, but for those of you who love spoilers, it's carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
Yeah.
That's where you can type the limerick. If you hear something today that inspires you, which reminds me back to the subject at hand, Scott, last time you had me in the hot seat.
I did.
On Scott's Mystery Show number 4.
And today is my turn.
Today is your turn. And this is, okay, just so you know and that everybody else knows, this is a question that has a subjective answer.
Okay.
So there's no wrong answer in this. I want you to not feel stress. Just breathe in, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I was a little tense over here.
I know. I saw you literally scoot to the edge of your seat. Yeah, I was like, are you going to sit that way for the whole show?
It's like the old monster truck events. You buy the whole seat, but you only need the edge.
That's great. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You are prepared? You're in sound.
I'm not prepared.
Sound health in mind?
I'm ready. Let's just say I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Ready as you'll ever be.
Yeah.
Here is my question for you today. This mystery episode is a question, Scott Benjamin. Do you pick up hitchhikers?
I can answer this with one word.
Okay.
There's more to it.
Would you pick up hitchhikers? And this goes into, just think about this, because this goes into other things as well. This isn't just hitchhikers. This is also, let's make it a little bit more broad, stopping to help somebody, a stranger on the side of the road, you know, changing a tire or whatever. What's your take on it? I feel like I know what you're going to say.
All right.
Have you ever?
In the past, I have. And not a hitchhiker, but somebody whose car I had just passed on the highway that was broken down and they were headed to the next exit.
Yeah.
And I knew where they're headed. I mean, you could see what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, after a momentary discussion of, you know, what's going on, what do you need here?
Sure.
I just need to get to that gas station right there. I know that it could have been a setup. I get all that, you know, the dangers involved with this. And I feel like we've touched on this just
recently. We have mentioned it before.
Yeah, very recently, too, about being a good citizen. You know, it's harder and harder to trust anybody these days. But this was a while back, and it's happened more than once. You know, I've helped other people on the side of the road. And I got to say I'm doing it less frequently now because I'm just too cautious about it. I'm too concerned. But I have, yes, I've picked up somebody and taken them for, you know, that mile-and-a-half drive to the gas station.
Yeah.
And made sure you've got, you know, change at this time, you know, back then.
Right.
You got change for the phone.
Yeah.
You know, which no one does it. Because no one's carrying a cell phone back then.
Yeah, that shows us how long ago
you
it was.
You can't just sit in your car and call somebody to arrive on the roadside. You had to either wait for somebody to arrive or you know, or just luck into somebody.
Just schlep it with that can of gas.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I saw clearly what was happening. I was able to help the person out, you know, just take them to that, you know, gas station 2 miles away, and that's about it. But and you feel good about doing something like that, you know, or if you can pull over and help them, you know, somehow get the car going again or whatever. But recently I haven't done this, and I wouldn't really recommend it to anybody. And
really,
yeah. And I tell you, I know it's a very cynical way to see things. And I'm sorry that it's that way now, but I am a bit cynical about it now. But I've just read too many accounts of that happening, you know, where it's a setup.
Right.
Or it's, you know, somebody with really bad intentions, or it just turns into something bad. You know, maybe they really were broken down, but they took advantage of the situation.
Or, yeah, maybe, okay, so here is the, I won't call it an urban legend, but here's like the campfire story version of these sorts of cautionary tales. And I completely understand what you're saying, so correct me if I'm wrong on this. The story usually goes that there is someone, usually late at night, right? Pulled over, the hood's up. They're standing by the hood, looking at the engine. Maybe their emergency lights are on. Maybe they got their hazard switched on. And someone pulls over to say, hey, I'll be a good Samaritan. Maybe I can give them a ride if they just need gas, or maybe I can at least get them someplace where they can use a phone. They're not on the side of the road. But instead, what happens in these stories is that the person pretending to be a victim pulls out a gun, robs the would-be Samaritan, and then takes off in their car, which was fine the whole time.
Yeah, sure. Worst case scenario, right?
Yeah, probably doesn't have license plates.
And there's a lot of other things that can happen as well, we know. We don't really need to go into details. You can let your imagination fill in what that might be.
Right. And it could go all the way up to homicide.
Yeah, sure. Now, knowing that that is a possibility, mm-hmm. you know, that's something that, that really can happen. And we do read about real accounts of that happening.
Sure.
What's your opinion on this? What do you do?
Well, I have until my girlfriend made me stop, I always stopped on the side of the road if I could swing it to help people out, because, you know, we talked about this in the past. There are a lot of people, and part of it might be just the city we live in here, but there are a lot of people here who don't know the first thing about their vehicle, like how to change the tire, or the fact that you have to put stuff in the radiator if your radiator is empty and the car is overheating. Mm-hmm. You know, the things that would seem very simple to us listeners are things that are also kind of quick fixes and not necessarily debilitating, but for people who don't know about it, who knows how long they'd be stranded there.
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people, like you said, that just know real, like the most simple basic understanding of why that car is broken down on the side of the road, why it overheated, because, you know, the belt broke.
Right.
They won't think to look that the belt broke and that made the fan not spin and that made the car overheat.
Exactly.
They won't understand that. So sometimes it's very helpful for you to just stop by and say, look, this car is not going anywhere. You need to call somebody, or I'll call somebody and come and help you. Or just wait, you know, wait 20 minutes. You got, you know, a case of cold water in the back there.
Yeah.
Pour a few bottles of that in there, just enough to get yourself to the next gas station or, you know, next service station.
Sure.
And you know, you can exactly. offer, sometimes you can offer simple explanations or solutions like that to people, and they'll be super happy. They'll be very grateful for that.
Now, I've run into a wide range of people with their reactions. I've never had somebody try to rob me or anything like that, but I also have a couple pretty strict rules. I'm never going to lend someone my phone, even just hand it to them in front of me.
Yep.
I'll ask them within call and I'll say it. But I have run into probably the worst case scenario. I pulled over while our office was still in Buckhead, and I stopped to help a lady who had a flat tire. Mm-hmm. And she was incredibly entitled. And I didn't say thank you. Was rude. I think her response was something like, about time.
Oh,
when
really?
I showed up.
Wow.
And so my response was, do you need help? And she said, of course, I can't change a tire.
So like she's saying, it's about time someone pulled over to help me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Real
Instead of,
story.
Oh my gosh, everybody's been passing me. Thank you so much for stopping.
Yeah. I guess she was having a bad day, but like Boy Scout code compels me to do that kind of stuff.
You and I are kind of in the same position, because I was one to pull over and help people change tires. And I would pull over and, you know, just make sure they're okay if the car was overheating on the side of the road, or, you know, whatever the case may be.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you can see there's something clearly wrong and no one's around to help, there's no tow truck in sight, there's no police officer there or whatever, the situation's not under control. You're trying to just lend a hand.
Yeah.
And I would do that. But there was a point, I guess, and maybe it's when, you know, I became engaged or something, or maybe when I had a family. I don't remember when this all stopped, but I really don't consider it all that much anymore. I don't even think about it. I think, okay, I see.
When you were no longer Scott the Shark,
you know,
Benjamin.
I mean, sure, I'll help out people. Like if somebody here in the office, recently somebody needed a jump start.
Yeah.
I helped them with that right here in the parking lot. You know, in the structure, you know, somebody that says, you know, I'm having a real problem. My key's not fitting in the door of my car. I don't know what's going on. There's something, maybe something in there. I'll gladly go out and check that out. Or if a neighbor comes over, because this happened within the last year or so, a neighbor said, I put the key in the ignition and it won't turn. It's like it's locked.
Some kind
out,
of obstruction.
You know? The cylinder's locked somehow, you know, or whatever. And I would look up information on the website for the company and see if I can find out, you know, a quick fix and go out and help them with that. But somebody that I just pass on the side of the road now anymore, and I hate to say this, Ben, there's just too many bad things that can happen, and we do hear about them now through the instant news that we get from everywhere. But I feel like stuff like this has happened all along. It's just you didn't hear about it. Maybe.
Well, okay. I respectfully disagree a little because how much of it is a fear culture, and then how much of it is regional? We know that bad news sells much more successfully than good news. Mm-hmm. Stranger changes someone's tire, they become Facebook friends. That's not newsworthy.
No, and that happens probably 100 times a day in this state.
Right. That happens more often, I think, because people in general are relatively good to strangers just because we all have, all of us except for the real psychopaths, have this idea that it feels good to help people.
Sure.
Right. And that's one of the drives that most individual humans have. The reason I wanted to ask about this is because I wonder, you know, if it does differ by region. Like, surely if you're going through a really bad part of Gary, Indiana, you're not going to stop, right? Unless you're familiar with the territory. Another thing with hitchhiking is that hitchhiking used to be much more common in this country, right? Especially through the 50s and the 60s.
Yes, far, far more common back in the 60s and even in the 1970s, right?
Right, yeah. So there would be these there was a thing like people will sometimes think that hitchhiking in the U.S. was entirely something with the hippie movement, right? Like a flower child just trying to get to Haight Ashbury or whatever. And I don't know, wear flowers and do LSD. But the thing is, before the Second World War, it was a common practice for many people. And part of that, I think it comes from two factors. One, until the 70s, there was a big disparity between the number of male drivers and female drivers. Mm-hmm. And then number two, before the post-World War II economic boom, car ownership was much lower amidst the population.
So you've got a lot of males driving vehicles and not females. Mm-hmm. Females need a ride somewhere
and people
don't have access to that.
Right, or a bus ticket or something. People in general are less likely to own a car.
Okay, so fewer vehicles.
Right.
And okay, I get it. I understand that. So there's a group of females that need ride, you know, whether it's across town or whether it's to the next town over.
Right.
Something like that, right? So it's just far more accepted practice at that point. It was like, well, of course you can do that, and it's safe.
Yeah.
It's generally safe.
Generally safe. Yeah. It wasn't quite as foolhardy as it seems today. And so there's this history. There's a great New York Times article you can read about this called Hitchhiking's Time Has Come Again or something. And I think that's a little bit optimistic. But because those dangers, however exaggerated they may be, Scott, they're real. I've picked up hitchhikers. I've hitchhiked.
You have hitchhiked yourself?
Yeah, not in this country, but I have hitchhiked.
Oh, okay. So you lived in Guatemala.
Right, and that's where I hitchhiked.
Okay,
yeah.
And it was an accepted practice
and
there.
And I did it once in England, and it wasn't as – it wasn't a big deal or anything. I think in England I offered – because I had no idea how big London was, and I was going to a place far outside of London.
Yeah.
And so I offered the guy gas money or petrol pounds, I guess. Yeah. And he took it, but he was a pretty laid back, cool guy.
So obviously everything worked out perfectly.
Everything
fine for you.
Everything worked out.
No problem. You know, I think I mentioned recently I was in Hawaii for part of a vacation.
Yeah.
And I was shocked by the number of hitchhikers in Hawaii on the different islands, several different islands.
Really?
It seemed like the people that were hitchhiking, this is kind of a funny thing.
Were they surfers?
There was that, and then they would also stand at the bus stop and hitchhike. So if the bus didn't arrive, so like whichever happened first, whether I get a ride or whether I get this bus, you know, the next bus is coming.
Mm-hmm.
So saves you a couple bucks, I guess, you know, to get across the island.
Yeah.
You know, that way, I guess that makes sense.
And I think maybe Hawaii is a good example there because just by the nature of being an island, not as many people are going to be able to afford cars.
Not possibly. It seemed like there was a significant amount of traffic while I was there.
I imagine so.
That might just be, tourist rental vehicles. You know, I don't know if that's all local traffic. Probably not.
Yeah.
But it struck me as unusual that I saw so many because we're at a point now where we don't see quite as many hitchhikers on the road, at least where I've been traveling recently. I've taken a lot of road trips recently.
Yeah, absolutely not. Like if you see a hitchhiker nowadays, at least in Atlanta, most of the hitchhikers I see are people who are clearly like unwashed, living off the grid, you know, whereas, and not that there's anything wrong with that, of course, but you know, counterculture, I guess, is the most fair way to say
it. Good way to say it, sure.
Whereas a few decades back, people would be, maybe even like the 70s and the 80s, people would just be hitchhiking.
Yeah, you got a college kid trying to get home for Christmas.
Right, something like that.
Yeah, and you know, we're trying to get a ride on the, you know, that was the other version of this, I guess, would be trying to get a ride using the university bulletin board.
Oh,
the
yeah,
same
yeah,
idea.
Yeah.
You tack a note up that said, and this is a long time ago, but you tack a note up that says, I'm headed to, well, you said Gary, Indiana. Let's say Gary, Indiana. Headed to Gary, Indiana for the Thanksgiving break.
Yeah.
Here's the days that I'd like to travel. Are you going that way? Or something like that.
You know,
and somebody would, yeah, exactly. So that's like the old way of doing it. And it's not quite hitchhiking, but it's close to it. I mean,
yeah, people still do that.
Right.
Just using the internet. Yeah. And if we go back just the quick trace of the history here, the big transformation occurs in the 60s and 70s when we see a lot of, we see a lot of stuff that's anti-system, right? So not just hippies, but also like civil rights advocates, protesters are hitchhiking to demonstrations and stuff. In the 1950s, the late 1950s, that's when the FBI began warning motorists against picking up hitchhikers, you know?
The 1950s?
Drifters, late 1950s.
Wow, I wouldn't
That's when they started.
I would not have expected it was that early. I would think that that would have happened in the 1970s or something.
Yeah,
know? But
yeah.
Once, you know, it seemed to be more pop culture, you know, something more that, I guess that it was more, a greater acceptance of it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was accepted for a long period of time. I mean, we're talking, like you said, decades here in the United States.
Yeah.
And even now, in these pockets, these regions of the world, it's really not uncommon to see a hitchhiker. Yet, I don't know. I could probably count the hitchhikers that I've seen in you know the lower 48 here. I guess
yeah.
Know, all the road trips that I've been on in the last couple of years, I could probably count the number of hitchhikers on two hands. You know, less than 10 on the highways, actually walking the highways. You know, with the big backpack and saying, you know, Seattle or bust or whatever they happen to have on
yeah.
their sign. You know?
Here's one of the, I'm just going to show this to you. Here's one of the FBI public warning posters about the dangers of hitchhiking
so
from the 1950s.
So the ghosted skull behind, you know, the guy that says, what is it? Death in disguise.
Death in disguise.
Yeah.
Well-dressed hitchhiker.
Yeah.
Who's going to kill you. The thing is though, Scott, that,
well, that's the other point you bring up is yeah. that, you know, is it the hitchhiker that's the dangerous one, or is it the person picking up the hitchhiker that's the dangerous one?
Ah, yes.
Because it works both ways in this situation, doesn't it?
Yeah, and full disclosure for listeners, Scott, you and I have worked on and are working on a series for a different show which concerns some true crime.
Yeah, and hitchhiking.
And hitchhiking.
Yeah, and some of the just the inherent dangers with the hitchhiking lifestyle.
Whenever I've picked up a hitchhiker, there was never anything dangerous. And I know you're playing a numbers game at that point, right? Because eventually something might happen. But the worst that would happen is my car would smell kind of bad. As I know it sounds terrible, my car might smell kind of bad. Or it might be a situation where somebody's trying to get stuff from me. Like, I sure could use a couple bucks. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, I could use a couple bucks for gas,
like,
but
I'm giving you a ride and
right.
you're also asking me for money?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. I see.
Like I get it. I'm not a callous person, but I'm also not a person who carries around $150 saying, boy, I hope I can give this away to a stranger.
Also, okay, every little thing that you bring up here brings up more problems because what do you do then? You pull out your wallet.
And
you open it up and there's, you know, maybe they'll say there's $80 in there or whatever.
Sure. Whoa.
You know, well, I don't know, or whatever.
Ballin'.
And you pull out a $10 bill and hand it to the guy. He's like, oh, well, that other 70 would be awful nice. Maybe I should, press you for that.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's like all these little thoughts go through your head like, well, I'm not going to, you know, show him that I have $80. I'm not comfortable handing that much over.
But, yeah, but Scott, that being said, I've met some pretty cool people when I would pick someone up, but also I'm the guy who, if I don't think I'll get in trouble with my girlfriend, if I don't think I'll get caught, you know, and I'm driving by, especially in Atlanta in the summer when it's crazy hot, and I see somebody that's clearly walking to the train station that's just down the road, then I'm fine with pulling over and saying, you know, do you want to ride if it's daytime? Because if I pull over, like, I look, I'm not a creepy guy, right? I'm not.
I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing because I'm my follow-up question is this, but go ahead.
I'm not a creepy guy, but I'll totally pull over. And, especially if I know, if someone's a familiar face in the neighborhood,
yeah,
and say, hey, I'm heading down to this, the train station is on the way. Do you want to ride?
Okay. Totally understandable. I completely get what you're saying.
But
however, okay, here's the problem with what you're talking about.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure that other listeners are thinking the same thing. You let your car, you know, kind of slowly roll up to maybe that that college co-ed that, you know, is walking to the train station. You say, hey,
yeah,
you need a lift to the train station.
Right.
What is she going to think?
Serial killer.
Well, that's maybe what she thinks. And you know, like you said, you're not like a creepy looking guy. You're well dressed. You're, you know, well groomed. You know, it's not anything like that. The car is in decent condition. But all the stuff that has been, you know, put into her head,
sure,
over her, you know, short lifespan.
Yeah.
At the last 10, 15 years or whatever, that she's been really paying attention to news items and things, you know,
sure, sure,
disappearances or whatever. All that's got to be something that she's thinking of.
So I should just pull over very quickly and then ask in like a low voice, like, pretty hot outside. You want to ride to the train station? And then no matter what the person says, I should laugh maniacally.
Oh, Ben.
I should laugh maniacally.
So many images are going through my head
now. No, but okay, but also I see what you're saying, and this is weird because this is an actual discussion that I've had with my girlfriend, and I decided of my own volition, though. I was like, well, I'm still gonna, if I drive by and I see some like older person hobbling around, then of course I'm gonna offer them a ride.
Absolutely.
And
I think you should.
And you know, a lot of people wouldn't. But then if I see, I was like, but if I see a young lady, I feel like it's already such a potentially creepy situation that unless it's an emergency, I'm not going to help. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry, young women of America.
But listen, what about this, though? If you know yourself, you know that you've got good intentions.
Right. But
you know that
they can't know that.
Well, no, but here's the other side of this, too. There's so many different things. Again, everything is bringing up another topic. But
yeah.
You know that you don't have any kind of bad intention at all. I mean, if you pull over and it's truly what is laid out in front of you there, that, you know, this is just somebody who needs help. It's maybe a pretty young girl, like you said, and she's on the side of the road and really truly needs help. You know that she's going to be okay if you help her, if you do something. If you pass that situation, who knows who the next person that's going to stop to try to help her.
Oh.
It might be somebody, you know, that does not have good intentions.
That's not where I thought you were going. That's crazy.
I mean, that's the other possibility. It's
yeah.
Like, okay, you know your side of it. You don't know what's going to happen next. And that's another sad thing that you have to think about. You know, like, okay, you're trying to protect yourself. You're trying to,
sure,
you do want to make sure that she's okay, but you know the way it'll appear if you do pull over. That, you know,
so is it better just to call the cops? Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do? I mean,
well, so how about this, Scott? You mentioned that you had in the past picked up a hitchhiker.
Yeah, but not a hitchhiker. I'm talking somebody that was clearly walking from a broken down vehicle,
okay,
or somebody,
okay,
that I was helping. You know, that was at their car.
Sure.
Had trouble. You
okay.
Know, was overheating.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Just needed to get to that next couple of miles. I've never ever in my life stopped for somebody with their thumb out.
Have
or
you,
a sign that says, I'm going to, you know, down to Atlanta,
for right,
a ride. Never in my life. And I don't think that I ever would. And that's just something that's been kind of put into my head from my parents when I was young.
Sure.
Don't do that.
I think a lot of times, and this is something I want to hear from the truckers in the audience on, a lot of times, you know, people who drive for a living might be less averse, or at least were in past years. There's an interesting study, only one statistic I'll pull out here. The only agency so far, to commission a study on murder rates and hitchhiking was the California Highway Patrol. In 1974, they found that hitchhiking was a factor in 0.63% of crimes in the state.
Oh, very low.
So it is very low.
And it happens, though.
It does happen. Yeah, it does happen. And that's the question. You know, what kind of odds do you want to play? How observant are you?
And how many violent crimes are happening in California, too? That's probably a significant number.
That's
so,
true.
So that 0.63%
is just
it represents a significant number as well.
Right. It just sounds like a slimmer piece of pie because there's a bigger pie.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, can I just say one thing before we wrap this up?
Sure,
I want
to
make this clear because I feel so bad when we talk about this.
Why?
That I'm, like, I've somehow changed as a person or as a human that, you know.
Oh,
like
man, don't beat yourself up.
Well, that's the thing is, like, when you say, and it's not anything that you've done wrong or anything,
sure, sure.
But it's when you really think about it, and it is, it's true, is that I guess I'm not quite as much of a helpful person out there on the road as I used to be. And that's just because of my own situation. I have to protect, you know, myself and my family and all that. I mean, you have to be conscious of that kind of stuff as you grow older. Maybe later, I don't know, maybe if I did see somebody and I thought, oh, that person needs help, I gotta pull over and do something, I would be more apt to do that later in life. But right now, for my situation, I think it's not too smart to stop every time I see something happening on the side of the road.
Well, don't beat yourself up again, because like, clearly you're the kind of guy who, if you see an accident occur, you're going to stop. You're going to help people. You're going to be a witness.
Oh, absolutely. If there's an accident that happens in front of me, I'm going to be the first one out of the car to try to help somebody, you know, to do so. It's not like self-promotional or anything.
Sure,
But I'm usually one to act if I see something happen.
Yeah.
I don't really think about it. I just get out and do whatever has to be done. And then I'll think later, like, that was pretty stupid. I shouldn't have done that. You know, that whatever it was dangerous or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really think that way. I usually just jump out and do whatever it takes to solve that.
Yeah.
And my wife gets very upset with that. But if it's something where, you know, you're just driving by and you see somebody with a flat tire and it looks like they got it under control, I'm not really all that concerned. I think, well, they probably got it there.
So yeah,
they got the jack out. They got the tire out. Clearly, they know what's going on. Or somebody will pull over and help them. I that's the way that I'm feeling now. But I used to be one that, of course, I'd pull over and help. Even if it looked like they had it under control, I'd still make sure everything was okay.
Now, as we reach toward the end of the podcast, I do want to say that hitchhiking, not just like as a piece of counterculture or whatever, is still alive and well in America. In fact, something similar to hitchhiking is a common practice in Washington, D.C., in the Capitol.
Similar.
Yeah, slugging.
Slugging.
Yeah, slugging is a term. It's a form of commuting found in D.C., and it's called sometimes instant carpooling or casual carpooling. So people commuting to the city stop to pick up other passengers even though they're strangers. It's an organized system, so it's got its own rules, etiquette, specific drop off and pick up times, because recently, you know, I went to D.C. for a work trip. And one thing that baffled me was apparently during rush hour in D.C., and I don't know if you already knew this, you can't drive by yourself.
I didn't know that.
Apparently, like, at least that's what what my friend told me. She may have been spinning stories.
Just fooling you, but so you're saying every lane on the highway is a like an HOV lane.
Yeah.
High occupancy.
Yeah,
vehicle
yeah,
lane.
Yeah, yeah.
Really? That's interesting. I had no idea. And that, boy, you know what? Going into and out of DC, aren't there something like 10 lanes of highway?
Yeah. Like I don't know if I would love for a listener who's more familiar with DC to tell me if this is true, because I haven't looked it up yet. But
that's an interesting thing.
Yeah, slugging is something people in the, like, people who are working at the Pentagon will use that too, because, you know, a lot of people in the D.C. area live in Virginia,
sure.
Right?
So a huge percentage of people are going to the Pentagon to work every day.
Right. So a car needing additional passengers to meet that three-person HOV minimum pulls up to a slug line, and then they'll have somebody waiting for, like, the Pentagon, 14th in New York, etc. And sometimes they don't talk to each other at all, but it's been around apparently for about 38 years.
So
it started in 75.
So Ben, this is interesting. If what your friend was telling you is true, that means that every lane on the highway is like an HOV lane, like it's a high occupancy vehicle.
Yeah, but I'm skeptical that, you know, we'll have to find out. I'll contact her and listeners. I'm sure some live in the DC area. Let us know, because it sounded really weird to me, but I wasn't driving.
Yeah.
You know, because we took a plane and then we were just using cabs.
I have no idea if that's true or not. I've driven into DC and it seems like, you know, on one side of the road going one direction, there were 10 lanes of highway headed into town and out of town. So it was an enormous interstate system. I do have a hard time believing that all of that is
right.
HOV lane. But,
yeah.
But you never know. There might be a certain set of time, you know, hours, maybe like 2 hours or 3 hours where that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to dig into it and find out.
So it's strange. I know that there's no parking in rush hour zones. I know that because I saw people get in trouble for it. But apparently it is also true that Washington, D.C. has the worst rush hour traffic in the country, mm-hmm. which also makes sense since so many people commute. But yeah, we'll find out. That's something I heard. I'm going to come back in another episode to confirm it. You and I have both picked up hitchhikers, but this is something I want to bring to you listeners. Let us know what you think about hitchhiking. But before we go, I'd like to do something a little different, Scott. I'd like to ask, Noel on the air to, tell us what you think about this.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Hey guys.
Hey Noel. You heard us talking about hitchhiking and
sure.
stuff, right? What's your take? Do you pick up hitchhikers?
I think I've been ruined by like horror and sci-fi television and movies. Like I think I'm paranoid that I will be murdered in my car or abducted. Yeah, I don't know. Like I think I would probably assess the situation if someone looked like they were really genuinely in trouble. But like living around Atlanta, you get panhandled and hit up with crazy stories so often. Uh-huh. Like just
no, it sounds like you're in my camp exactly. That's exactly the way I feel. And I think what he's saying is exactly the way I look at it right now is that you have to evaluate every situation. If someone is truly, truly in a bad spot,
yeah,
I'll definitely pull over and help them out. But right now I've just heard too much.
I hate to make it sound like it, you know, it's all about like how they look or like surface type things, but you know, so often like that's kind of all you have to assess.
If somebody has like an eye patch and blood on their hands,
it just comes down to a gut judgment, and there's something to a gut decision. There really is.
Yeah.
So I don't fault you at all for that, Noel.
I'm going to go ahead and make the call. Somebody point this out to me if I'm wrong. I'm going to go ahead and make the call that there's no way there's a mandatory HOV. Thing in DC. It just seems, it doesn't seem realistic. What do you think, Noel?
I'm sorry. I think I missed that detail.
Well, okay. So when we were up in DC, one of my friends who's given us a tour, she said that she was stuck in the city because she couldn't leave during rush hour because they only had like every lane was an HOV lane.
Every lane.
See, that doesn't sound right.
It's kind of the way I feel too, but.
Did she pull the wool over me, you guys?
Possibly. Possibly.
Oh man, I get.
Wait, so the same rules would apply as to the HOV lane around here. Like, I mean, you have to take a carpool lane,
right? Yeah, so. Yeah. But with them, I think for high occupancy vehicles, you have to have three or more people.
Jeez,
three or more people.
Crazier.
Every lane, you know, within a certain.
There's no.
Amount of time.
There's no way.
What do you do if it's just you and you ride to work on your own? You just stuck until.
No, then you. What's the name of that term?
Slugging.
Slugging. Then you
carpool with someone. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
sounds miserable.
but wait though. Can we agree on air, you guys, that hitchhiking aside, I have a different philosophy here. Hitchhiking aside, you guys would give me a lift if I was stranded on the road, right?
Well, you sure. Yeah.
Maybe.
Would you let me use your phone to call Noel?
It depends on the situation. And if I had warned you about something on your Monte Carlo, and you didn't fix it, and then I saw the Monte Carlo broken down, and you walking. I don't know. I might stop to say something.
You could.
It's a teachable moment.
You would stop to honk and give you a lecture.
I told you to change that belt.
Oh man! Look, I know I'm the Jesse Pinkman to your Walter White, but that is cold.
I'm only joking. I would definitely give you a hand, Ben.
And likewise, you guys.
And truthfully. I think most people are like that with people they know. If you see somebody you know, you see a neighbor walking down the road, you're going to pull over and help your neighbor out. Unless it's that creepy neighbor that lives in the house that they never mow the grass. You know,
yeah.
It's like Boo Radley's house or something.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So listeners, we hope, I guess we're wrapping up. We hope that you enjoyed this episode. And hey, that's Noel's first ever appearance on Car Stuff.
I think you're right. Wow. Why have we waited so long?
I don't want to waste his time. He's a busy guy.
That's true. He's super busy. And mm-hmm. Really, we appreciate him being able to just step in and be able to do stuff like this.
Yeah. And we want to hear from you. Have you picked up hitchhikers? Have you hitchhiked in the past?
Yeah, I guess that's the way you say it. How about people that you just, not necessarily hitchhiking, but people that are in distress? Because that's the camp I'm in. Mm-hmm. Not hitchhikers, but people in distress. I've helped them.
Yeah.
So there's like two sides to this whole thing, but it's a great question, Ben.
Well, yeah. Hey, man. Thanks for playing the mystery show game with me. I hope it wasn't. Was it too weird?
Well, it leads to a lot of kind of like moral questions, doesn't it?
It does. It was unexpectedly a moral episode.
Yeah, it really was. And I don't know. I always feel awkward when I have to answer this question because we've talked about it in the past.
Yeah, I didn't want to. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Well, no, it's perfectly fine because I'm consistent with it because I've this truly the way I feel. I mean, I always say, like, I'll do this, but there's a caveat with this. And I won't do that ever, but there's also a little caveat to that one.
Let me tell you, just before we go off the air, let me tell you the worst situation to me, the most Larry David Curb Your Enthusiasm situations happened to me. This has happened twice in the past year, so like twice over maybe 2014. I'm walking somewhere. I'm the pedestrian, right? And I'm just in my neighborhood at the time. And I think at one time I was heading up to the store or something. Not a big trip, right? And as I'm walking up, see this lady in, I want to say a Tahoe, hit an obstruction in the road, and her back right tire busts out. And I'm literally walking by, Scott, and I don't want to help her at all. But there's a kid in the back, and you know the tire is done. You can see the sidewall. It just flattens.
A blowout.
Right. Yeah. And so I felt obligated to stop because I was literally walking by and there was someone else coming from the other direction, the other side of the sidewalk. You could tell this guy's visible relief. He was like, oh, he's the one who got stuck doing it.
Yeah, he got it.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know what, though? I mean, you probably felt really good about helping afterwards, didn't you?
Did I?
Oh, you know you did because you do have a good feeling when you do help somebody out like that. I mean, you really do.
Well, let you know, at the time, I just felt like it was an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. I was like, of course. Fine.
This has to happen to me today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was already expecting her not to have a spare.
She's having the worst day ever. You have to help her out, but for some reason, you think it's like your problem.
Right. She wasn't like the lady was super nice and the kid was cool. She wasn't like, it wasn't like a bad situation.
This wasn't like the It's About Time lady.
No, completely different. And it was just, you know, it was just kind of me being more reluctant than I should have been.
You're being a good citizen, Ben.
I guess, but I was complaining about it the whole way. Man, that night I wouldn't shut up about it. I'm sure my friends hated me.
Probably sore too. When you do something like that, you're not used to doing something like that? Changing a tire on a truck?
Oh, man. You know, the main thing was just that I was dressed kind of nice. That was part of it, too.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, hold on. Let me.
But you know what? You did the right thing.
Well, thanks, man. That's very kind to say. I think I did what anybody else would have done.
See, you say that, but, you know, you never know. You never know.
You would have done the same thing. And our listeners probably would, too, unless there were another emergency that you were on the way to. So let us know. We want to hear your stories. And Scott, you're right. This is kind of accidentally became an episode about morality and realism.
And changing times. You know, it's not quite what it was 25 years ago or 30
True.
Years ago.
Right.
It's a little different now. The environment's different, or at least we perceive it as being different.
I think we could say it's different for sure.
I think so. I mean, some perception, but I think it truly has changed.
Yeah, well, we'd like to hear from you guys. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, where we are CarStuffHSW. You can check out all of our other shows on CarStuffShow.com. And if you're ever hitchhiking in Atlanta, it helps to be a Car Stuff fan.
Yeah, maybe include that on your sign, and maybe Ben or I'll pick you up.
Yeah. You
maybe
never
even
know.
Noel, you never know.
Yeah, maybe. Well, maybe Noel. Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. He seemed pretty against it.
He's a little skittish about it.
Yeah.
I am too.
But if you want to, we'd love to have some hitchhiking or breakdown stories that we could tell we could read in later episodes. So if you've got one, if you got a good one, and a true one, no fiction, then we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email. We are
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.